So I will start off by saying I'm a big fan of the Scorpion show.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I've been enjoying your character, how he's sort of moving his way in with the group.
Yeah. He's an interesting character to mix in with that group, you know. Mm-hmm. Cabe can only do so much action stuff, and, you know, Paige can only teach them so much of being normal human beings, you know, and they're striving to raise their EQ, and Tim has that, but he's also smart enough to hang with Team Scorpion. I mean, what a lot of people don't know about Navy SEALs is a lot of them highly educated, some of them are doctors, engineers, you know, because they have to be able to think on the move and to pretty much operate as a four-man or a six-man team out in the field, and they have to cover all their bases, whether it's communications or, you know, electrical or, you know, mechanical or, you know, just plain out medical stuff. So a lot of those guys are smart enough, and so he's holding on.
Mm-hmm.
He can't compute everything that they say, but he gets the broad strokes of it, which is much more than a lot of people would get.
I think that sums the character up perfectly.
Yeah, there you go.
I think he's a great addition to the cast.
Yeah, I'm doing 9 episodes of this season,
yeah.
9 of the first 13, so you'll see a lot more Tim Armstrong.
Yeah, we got to go to the CBS press room yesterday, so I talked to Catherine, and she told us how it happens in episode 1. So.
Yep.
That'll make things interesting.
Yep, I'm waiting for the deluge of fan responses. Get away from Lynch!
It's hard. It's love triangles.
Yeah. No, I've been in enough of them at this point. But what I really love that they're doing with Tim is they're making him stand up on his own, as opposed to just using him as a foil for Walter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're really getting a sense of him, and you kind of like him, even if you don't like the relationship angle. You liked him as a character, and I think he's a necessary tool for Walter and for Paige, you know?
Yeah.
She deserves someone stable, and
mm-hmm.
Walter needs to be pushed by someone other than a father figure or a love interest, and that's kind of Tim's spot, so.
It's good writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I was looking at your profile, I noticed that you've done quite a bit of video game work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you like that compared to doing, like, TV and movies?
You know what, I love doing the voiceover stuff. It's nerve-wracking. It may be some of the most difficult stuff that I've done. You know, I come from the world of theater, and when you get up on stage with a musical piece or with a play, you're playing to an audience, and you see their reactions, and you get an immediate response from that room. And, you know, then when you're doing film and television, there's a team of people that you are working with daily, and you're bouncing your lines and your dialogue and your looks off of another actor. So, again, it's the immediate response of you're getting feedback and you're listening and you're seeing. When you go into a booth and you're just saying the same line 3 times with different inflections, hoping that it's versatile enough to land and it's loaded with the right emotion, it's a tight rope to walk, and it's very challenging. I love doing it. I'm a big gamer. I basically talked my way into voiceover. My agency doesn't have a voiceover agent. I'm with the Gersh Agency, and they're big and they're great, but they don't have a voiceover department. So everything that I've booked, I've pretty much booked on my own, like just from hustle. And it's kind of a nice reminder of how I used to work before, you know, getting on TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just making relationships and hopefully being good enough that they rehire you. So at this point, I've got like 10 or so under my belt, and I'm feeling comfortable, and it's a lot of fun. I just started my first full mocap game, which I can't even talk about. I'm under NDAs on all of it, but it's really cool. I've got the full suit on, and I feel like Andy Serkis, which is really like what I want to be. Like, he to me is the ultimate, and so I'm just working hard trying to figure out how he does what he does. So, you know,
that's great. All right. Do you have any favorite projects that you've done for your video game?
You know, I really love working on the Telltale games. I did both The Walking Dead, and I'm currently doing Minecraft. But the reason I love doing it is because there's so many branching storylines that you get to play multiple emotions, as opposed to just, this is your one line, this is your one scene, this is, you know, that's just iron flat, that's what it's going to be. You know, the audience gets to kind of choose their own story, and depending on how they interact with the game, I'm delivering different emotions. And it's really cool because you get to offer more of a broad spectrum of who you are, and that's really cool. And then I love doing the Lego games, just because my wife and I play those games together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 14-month-old, and I feel like when he starts to play games, thank you. I feel like when my son McCoy starts to play games, those will be kind of the first ones that we start playing. And him sitting on my lap and and then going, hey, that's daddy.
Do you hear?
Yeah. What? Like, and then hopefully he'll be asking me to do all these voices. You know, like, do Aquaman. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's tough to pick just one. I really love all the projects that I've worked on. Because I'm hustling and kind of like making relationships with the people that I love who make games, and then ultimately working with those people that I love who make games, then I'm working on projects that I love. So it's tough to pick just one.
So you said it can be really challenging to do the voice work.
Oof.
So even more than just like having to be like an actor on screen and also do like physical acting as well as the voice acting.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not doing any face capture or motion capture, you can hear a smile in someone's inflection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are doing it, you have to make sure you're not just dead saying a line. You have to be physical. And if it says in the game that he turns while yelling, like, you have to kind of get yourself, you know, turning and moving. You're leaping or you're out of breath. Like, you have to find that, okay, I've been running from zombies. Like, how out of breath am I, and does it work? And you know, so it's physical, a little bit more physical than you would think, but it's really challenging in the booth, because again, you're just saying it to a soundproof room.
Mm-hmm.
Sound comes out of your mouth, hits a wall, and just stops, and you just hope that what you delivered was enough to carry the day in the game itself. And games are so, I mean, they trump film now almost in the scope that they can cover, and you know, you're hoping that what you're delivering is going to be big enough for these amazing cinematic moments that are in games. So, it's a challenge.
That's excellent. So, you're looking forward to the moderating today?
It's my first time moderating a panel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm all right. I've been on a number of panels.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like on a panel like once a year at Comic-Con. I was on one of my favorite experiences ever was I did an X-Men video game, and I was on a panel with Stan Lee and Peter David.
Mm-hmm.
Peter David wrote X-Factor back in the 90s, and then again wrote in the 2000s, and just brilliant runs. He's a brilliant writer, and then everyone knows Stan Lee, and I'm on a panel, and I'm like looking from my right to my left and seeing these juggernauts from the comic book industry. Like, how did I get here? Thank you, video games, you made it happen. But yeah, moderating today, you know, it's interesting because this is what I do. I go to E3 every year, or I go to Comic-Con when they have, you know, big game, because it's not just comics, it's pop culture, and there's video games. Everybody is here at Comic-Con, and I find the creators, and I go, hey, this ending, or hey, you know, how did you come up with the idea, or who's your favorite character in the game? I was picking the guys from BioWare's minds at E3 this year. They're the guys behind Dragon Age and Mass Effect. And we know Mass Effect Andromeda is coming out, and so I was just mining for information.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you go, and by the way, you know, it's a big universe. If you need anybody, if you need a couple of voices, I'm your guy. And then, you know, the handshake and walk away. So I'm excited to do it in a more professional setting here, kind of get to dig in these guys and see, you know, what it takes really behind the scenes to make these wonderful, amazing games that make people feel and become attached to something that until 20 years ago was seen as just like this little nerdy hobby, but is now outselling the film.
Mainstream.
So, yeah.
I love it. So.
Good.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.